give him praise today. Let's sing.
We wait for this day. We're gathered in your name. We're calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with you. Your love, we're here.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Highland Baptist Church Wednesday night. All of you that's attached through the social media platforms, the YouTube, the Facebook, the Twitter, like we tell you normally is if you like us, heart us, like us, share us, subscribe, and it helps us expand our use of those platforms. Those with the phone live streaming, if you are using that platform, fantastic, and if you'd like to do that, you need to call a church office and they can provide you the phone number. If you'll go to our webpage, our homepage in info tab, you can get the worship bulletin for the stuff that's going on this week, and you can also get the prayer list that we'll be talking about here in a minute. Other than that, you can also do your offerings through that medium. So at this point, we've welcomed you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for your blessings, for the opportunity to gather like this, for the sunshine, and Lord, the song in the heart. And I pray that you just touch us this night with Brother Jim has to share, and Lord, we just praise you. Thank you for showing yourself in all that we do. We'll talk later. In Christ's name. Amen. Take your hymnals, please, and let's turn to hymn. That's not what I'm doing. 3:33? Huh? Lord, leaning on the everlasting arms. Ah, the wizard will bring it up. What? You like that one better? You like that one better? Well, it's probably, that song's probably a little lower than this one. This one's kind of high. So we'll get there in just a minute. See, that's why I don't run the sound anymore. It's gotten too sophisticated for me. We'd get feedback in here, and I didn't know it was feedback because of my hearing. And I didn't know anything was happening until my wife turned around and gave me that look. And then I knew it was feedback. Sir?
There you go.
Yeah. You got it. You ready to rock and roll?
Yes.
All three verses. Okay. Let's sing it. Sing. Lean on the everlasting arms. Thank you, Ben, for pulling that up. If you have your prayer list, go ahead and take that. We'll go through some of those from our HBC family. Still continue to remember Carolyn and S.W. Stone. I haven't talked to Steve since Sunday, so I would assume that they're about the same. Arthur Hargrove, continue to remember him and Bessie Farrell, also Mark Raymond. Sandra Wells, Miss Jewel Farrell, Bill Warren. I saw him this past week. He was actually driving up a sidewalk with his little scooter. I haven't heard anything from Rick German lately, but Miss Kay was good. She was here Sunday. She looked good. She sounded good. Miss Imogene Smith, continue to remember her. She's still recovering with her hands exercises. And continue to remember Amy Jackson. She has her treatment delayed still, or? Okay, consult tomorrow. Okay. Continue to remember Miss Amy. She's been through some let's just say interesting things. Continue to remember George Duncan. You got an update on George? Okay. Kay Fox, continue to remember her. Ken Tatum, any updates on Ken? Okay, we'll continue to remember him and his treatment. Linda Miller, she was here Sunday and didn't ask her about how she was doing, but she's still having issues with her blood pressure. Continue to remember Doug and Tony with recovering from surgery, Leanne Wells and Gordon Jackson. Any of those that if you have an update on, just raise your hand and we'll share.
Tommy's back home. He's a lot better.
Tommy Griffin.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I miss him?
No.
Okay. Okay, continue to remember the people of Ukraine and the people of Israel, the partnership with Calgary Mission, the Meredith family, and I haven't heard an update on Katie Jo. See, moving right on down through those, you can see those names, and several of you put those names actually on this list. And if you see any right through there that you put on here that you have an update, let us know. I'll put a plug in for the music search committee. Please, y'all continue to pray for them. Jack Young, continue to remember Jack. And Herb Hester, recovering from surgery. Tom Watson, and my family. Passing of my dad. Well, the funeral will be Friday, which most of you that are part of the church already have your call. And continue to remember Mom. She sometimes remembers he's passed and sometimes she don't. So she has to relive it a lot. So continue to remember us. We've got everything set up ready to go, I think. And so pray for us from Friday. As far as the nursing home is concerned and assisted living, there's Bertie Davis, Beverly Daniel, Hoyt Farrell, and Mom in Lynchburg. So anything we need to add? Right. Okay. So Pat's brother-in-law, Chris Gregory, continue to remember him. He's in Vanderbilt. So he's going through some, I wouldn't want to call it research or, and adjusting. Yes, yeah, so just continue to remember him. Anybody else? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today, for the your blessings, for Lord, these individuals that are on here for a purpose, and you know that already. I pray that you help us examine what we know of them, and Lord, continue to lift them in prayer, not only them, their caregivers and their families. Lord, we will watch your will unfold, and where healing is part of your will, we'll give you praise. And where bringing them home to you is part of your will, we'll give you praise. We just love you, Lord, and thank you for this night and for what Brother Jim will be sharing via recording. And Lord, we just say thank you. Love you, and we'll talk later. In Christ's name, amen.
Reverend David Kim is the senior pastor of Good Community Church of Torrance in Torrance, California. He's an executive board member of the California Southern Baptist Convention. He's married to his wife, Diane, and they have three daughters, Joyce, Tiffany, and Amber. The Word of God means our God is not silent or distant from our lives. So tune your spirit in to him as his servant, Reverend Kim, preaches from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 7.
Good morning. It's a great joy and honor for me to be in this place. And may the name of the Lord be praised in our midst. Let's all go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we have one purpose this morning. That is to hear your voice through your word. I am an absolute nobody without you. So I give you full control over my mind and my lips, that I may only speak the words that you place in my heart. Lord, speak to us. each and every one of us, so that we may listen attentively and follow your leadership today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in college, there was a tradition between my friends and I. The tradition was to celebrate our birthdays at a beach. So whenever it was the birthday of one of us, we would all go down to the Half Moon Bay late at night, cook some serious barbecue, sing and dance and party all night long. Now this beautiful tradition continued on during 4 years of college, except this one time. And this single exception happened on my birthday. That's when I was a senior in college. I woke up on my birthday morning, but for some strange reason, not a single soul called me on that day. It happened to be a Wednesday, so I went to the Wednesday night service, and it was my church friends who gave me a surprise birthday party. So I spent the night in one of my friends' house, and I came back to my apartment the following morning. And to my great surprise, I found 13 messages in my answering machine. Now, believe it or not, those were the days when cell phones were not popular yet. And I'm sure that most of you can relate to what I'm saying. Now, only one of my friends had a cell phone, and as for the rest of us, including myself, we had to rely on a landline phone and an answering machine to check our messages. So I checked the first message, and it said, "David, where are you? We are all gathered in Sammy's house, and the only person missing is you. It's 11 p.m., so call us as soon as possible." The second message said, "David, it's 11:15. We are still waiting for you, so give us a call." And yet another message said, "David, we are going to go ahead and go to Half Moon Bay. You know where, so meet us there." So and so forth. So I called one of my friends to see what was going on, and here's what happened. Since that was going to be my very last birthday in college, my friends decided to make it extra special. So instead of the regular pork, they bought steak, and they prepared an insane amount of food. They even bought birthday decorations and birthday cake. Given the fact that all my friends were guys, that was pretty sick. Now, since they were doing all these things that they would normally don't do, they were so busy. They were running left and right and doing this and that. And while they're being so busy, they forgot to do one important thing. What is that? They forgot to call me. So on the day of my birthday, when they had gathered in Sammy's house, to their great detriment, they found out the fact that no one had actually made a call. So at 11 p.m., they were calling me frantically, but by then I was already spending the night in my friend's house, so I couldn't get any of those calls. So they waited for me at the beach till 2 o'clock in the morning, and since I never showed up, they blew out the candles, and they celebrated my birthday without me. Now here's the question for all of you. If you're to serve as a judge, and if you have to give a score for this particular birthday event, what score would you give them? An 80? A 70? Perhaps a 60 for trying? What is your score? The score should be exactly 0. Why is that? Because the most important thing is missing. The most essential element is not there. I want to ask you, on any given birthday party, what is the most important thing that you cannot afford to miss? What is it? The birthday boy or the birthday girl? If he or she is not there, it doesn't matter how fancy it is, how beautiful it is, how expensive it is, anything and everything that you have ever prepared becomes completely meaningless. And the same is true in our spiritual walk. We go to church Sunday after Sunday, and we pour out so much of our time, money, and passion to serve the body of Christ. But if you're missing the most important thing in our spiritual walk, then at the end of the day, the scorecard that we may receive from the Lord Jesus Christ may say zero on it. So then the question of the day becomes, what is the most important thing in our spiritual walk that we cannot afford to miss? What are the Christian essentials in our spiritual life? And we find the answer to this question in today's passage. As you already know, the book of 2 Timothy is the last epistle that Apostle Paul wrote in his lifetime. And that being the case, he tried to pass on the most important lessons to his spiritual son, Timothy. Now, with that in mind, let me read verse 2 from today's passage. Apostle Paul says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, in this short verse, you find four generations of disciples. First generation, Apostle Paul. Second generation, his spiritual son, Timothy. The third generation are the disciples of Timothy. And the fourth generation are the disciples of the disciples of Timothy. Four generations. So Apostle Paul was essentially saying to Timothy to commit his life to a life of discipleship. Now, I can summarize today's entire passage in two statements. Statement number one, be disciples. Statement number two, make disciples. And I would submit to you that these two statements not only summarize the gist of today's message, but it also summarizes the entire message of the Bible. Why? Because to be a disciple and to make disciples of all nations, that is the Christian essentials that the Bible repeats again and again from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The first message of the Bible is for all of us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to emulate him so that we may love God and love others just like Jesus did. Now that is the call to be a disciple, and that is the heart of the great commandment. Now the second message of the Bible is for all of us to make disciples of all nations by preaching the gospel and living out the gospel in every day of our life. Now that is the call to make disciples, and that is the heart of the Great Commission. So to be a disciple and to make disciples of all nations, that is the gist of the message in the Bible. So then you may ask, what does it specifically mean to be a disciple? Well, in today's passage, Apostle Paul employs three analogies to explain the concept of Christian discipleship. With that in mind, I'm going to read from verse 4 to 6. He says, "No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops." Now, the very first analogy that he employs to explain the concept of Christian discipleship is that of a soldier. Apostle Paul explains, "No soldier in his active duty entangles himself in everyday affair." Why? Because he wants to please the commander. Now you may ask, as Christians, as soldiers of Christ, how can we please our commander in chief? Well, the fundamental answer to this question is submission. Our Lord Jesus Christ is glorified and delighted in our submission. So he wanted to highlight the concept of submission through his analogy of a soldier. Now the second analogy in explaining the Christian discipleship is that of an athlete. He says, "No one wins a prize unless you play by the rule." So the concept that he wanted to highlight is that of honesty. that we need to be honest and transparent in every day in our pursuit of Christian discipleship. Now, the third analogy is that of a farmer. And needless to say, what he wanted to underscore is the concept of dedication, because we need to be dedicated and committed in order to live as a disciple of Christ. Now, I would love to elaborate on each of every this point, but for the sake of time, let me just focus on the first message, the message of submission. So I want to ask all of you gathered in this place, do you live a life of submission to Christ? And I believe our immediate answer will be a resounding yes. Why? Because we all go to church, we all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we give an offering, we say our prayer before every meal, and we participate in so many of our church programs. But we all know that true and real discipleship goes far beyond simply attending church or participating in church programs. So what does it really mean to live as a real disciple of Christ? The true meaning can be found in this. True discipleship is giving the ownership of our entire life to our Lord Jesus Christ. So then how can we find out whether we are truly living in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because in our ordinary life, it all seems like everyone is living in submission to Christ. I believe one of the most accurate standards of assessment to see whether I'm a real disciple or not is suffering. Just Apostle Paul says in today's passage in verse 3, we are called to be partakers of suffering of Christ. So let me ask you three questions of assessment. I want you to answer honestly in your heart. Question number one, do you submit to the will of God, even in the midst of an incredible suffering? Yes or no? Answer honestly in your heart. Question number two, do you give thanks to the Lord and do you worship Him in the midst of suffering or only after the suffering has passed away? Question number three, in the darkest hour, in the face of the greatest pain and suffering, is Christ really enough? Are you really happy and content just because the Lord is with us? Now, it is extremely difficult to really submit to the will of God, even in the midst of an incredible suffering. I know this is a lot easier said than done. Even in my own personal life, the Lord Jesus taught me a lesson in submission through suffering. That's when I was a seminary student in Texas. There was a time when I was working full-time, studying full-time, and ministering part-time on the weekends. Now, one day I was just working in my workplace, and my eyelids felt so heavy that they were literally shutting down on me. I couldn't keep my eyes open no more than 2 seconds. I knew something was wrong with me. I went back home, I had a good night's sleep. I woke up the following morning. The condition still persisted for several days. So I went to the hospital. The doctors in the beginning didn't know what was wrong with me, but after running a full diagnostics, the doctor sent me down and said, Mr. Kim, the condition that you have is called myasthenia gravis. And I said, myasthenia what? I never heard that term before in my life. He said it's a neuromuscular disorder that is very serious and is potentially life-threatening, so that I need to go see a neurologist right away. Now, the cost of seeing a neurology specialist here in the United States is too high. So I went to Korea, my home country. I was hospitalized in one of the best hospitals in the nation, and they ran a full diagnostic for 2 full days from top to bottom. After a few days, the results came in, and the neurologist, who graduated from Harvard Medical School, sat me down and said, "Mr. Kim, the condition that you have is called myasthenia gravis. It's a condition that is very similar to Lou Gehrig's. It's basically a neuromuscular disorder that paralyzes every muscle in your body. It has already started from your facial muscles, and it will spread down to your entire body, paralyzing your arms and legs and hands and feet. And because the particular strain of the illness that you have is the most vicious one, we predict that you'll be completely paralyzed within 6 months. And unfortunately, there's nothing that the modern medicine can do for you. It's an incurable disease. You will spend the rest of your life in bed, not being able to move any limb of your body for the rest of your life. Now, if there's only one thing that we can possibly try, is to inject you with a very strong dose of medication in order to delay the spread of the paralysis. But even if we do our best, you'll be completely paralyzed within a year. But since we need to do whatever we can do, I want you to be hospitalized today." I was in complete and utter disbelief of what I just heard. I couldn't understand. I couldn't accept the news. I just sat in my hospital bed, just looked out the window for several hours. After almost 3 hours, I finally broke my silence, and I began to pray. I said, "God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this inexplicable suffering in my life? I do not understand. Didn't you call me to be a minister so that I can go out to the world to preach the gospel unto the nation? But instead, I'm being told that I will spend the rest of my life in bed, not being able to move any limb of my body. And if I'm simply going to become a great burden to my family, then can you please take away my life today? Because I would rather die." I knew, and I said, that Christ is enough. But in that moment, in the face of an incredible suffering, my honest confession is that no, Christ was not enough. I needed Christ plus health. I need Christ plus healing. Then I will be happy. Then I will be content. And it was at that moment that God reminded me of a specific Bible verse, just like a flashback. What Bible verse do you think it was? It was Job chapter 1, verse 21, where Job says, "The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised." It was at that moment that I realized for the first time in my life what it specifically means when I say Jesus is the Lord. That was the first time in my life that I finally realized what it means to submit to the lordship of Christ. Until that day, I always thought that my life was my own, that my body was my own possession, and therefore, I had every right to use my hands, arms, legs, and feet as I wished, as I wanted. I thought that was my right. But on that day, I finally realized that everything that I had, everything that I enjoyed, my body, my hands, my legs, my feet, my life, is not mine, and it never was. Everything that I had, even my hands and feet, the owner was God. It is His. He is the owner, and He entrusted it to me for a brief while, and then one day, if the rightful owner comes back and wants to take all of them away, then so be it, because he is the rightful owner. Once I realized that, I knelt down in my hospital bed and I began to pray a prayer of repentance. I said, God, I'm so sorry. All these years, I said with my lips that you are the Lord, but in reality, in fact, I lived as if I am the master of my own life. I thought everything that I had was my own possession. I am sorry. Could you please forgive me? It was at that moment that I felt the Lord's touch in my heart. And at that moment, I began to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. I said, Lord, thank you so much for all these amazing years that I could use my body as I wanted. Thank you for the privilege that I could walk, that I can talk, that I can see my loved ones, that I can converse with them, so that I can use my hands and my legs as I wanted. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time that you thanked the Lord because you're able to walk? When was the last time that you expressed gratitude to the Lord because you can go to the restroom on your own, for the fact that you can eat with your hands? You see, all the small details in our daily life was an amazing reason to celebrate and to give thanks to the Lord. So I finalized my prayer by saying the following: God, if indeed I may become completely paralyzed in 6 months, then I will continue to worship you with my heart. Now, I made a confession not because I was a man of great faith. My faith was terrible. But I was only able to make that confession because the Holy Spirit inspired me and empowered me to do so. Now, with that confession, on that day in that hospital, I laid down the ownership of my entire life at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once I did, something incredible happened. I felt an amazing joy and incredible peace, the real peace of God that transcends all understanding. It was amazing because nothing had changed. I'm still in the hospital. I'm still a patient. I'm still sick. And yet, everything changed. I had the true and real peace of God in me. There was the day that I decided that I will completely submit to the will of God, even in the midst of suffering and illness. I said, if the Lord chooses to heal me, then I will praise and worship Him for the healing and for the restoration of health. But if God in His sovereign will chooses not to heal me, then I will still continue to praise and worship Him for His faithfulness. I wouldn't understand why, but I know that there must be a good reason behind it. And I felt so free. I felt this incredible peace that no one could take away. There was a day that I decided, okay, if there are only 6 months left in my life, what should I do with it? I said, I need to share the gospel. So, to the best of my ability, I shared the gospel with everyone that I encountered, with the doctors, the nurses, with every patient that I met in that hospital. I shared the gospel. And as time passed by, something incredible began to happen. The paralysis that was spreading across my body, it stopped and it began to recede. And after 3 months of being hospitalized, my doctor called me and said, Mr. Kim, for some strange reason, almost all paralysis has disappeared. There's no way that I can explain this medically or scientifically. I can only say that this is a true miracle. In few days, let's praise God. I can only say that this is a true miracle. And maybe, just maybe, the God of universe that you kept on speaking, that you kept on repeating, maybe he truly lives. You're ready to be discharged. So I shared the gospel for one last time to my doctor, and I walked out. I walked away from the hospital with my own legs. Now, even till this day, whenever I feel a sense of entitlement, if I'm tempted to say that this is mine, that I'm the owner, that I am the master, I always go back to that hospital in my mind, to that time, to that place. And I pray, and yet one more time, Lord, you are the only master of my life. You are the one who calls the shots. You and no one else. I am an absolute nobody without you. So thy will be done. I want to ask you one more time. Do you live a life of submission to Christ? Is Christ enough in the midst of the suffering? Do you praise and worship God, not only after the suffering has passed by, but during the storms and the trials of life? If not, I pray with all my heart that all of us can commit our lives today to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you are pastors and pastors' wives, and I can only imagine how busy you are. We are all busy, there's no question about that. Every single day of our life, we are busy, running left and right, doing this and that. But at the end of the day, if you are not living as a disciple, and if you are not making disciples, we are missing the most important thing in our lives. There will come a day when all of us, every single one of us, will have to stand on the throne of judgment, one-on-one, in God's presence, to account for our lives. And the righteous judge on that day will ask us, I am convinced that he will ask these two questions to all believers who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Question number one, did you give your all in all to be a disciple, to live a life of discipleship? Question number two, did you give your all in all to make disciples of all nations? Be prepared to answer that question. And until that day, may God be with us in each and every step of the way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have spoken through your word. So help us and empower us to be obedient so that we can submit to your lordship and follow your leadership all the way today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reverend David Kim is the senior pastor of Good Community Church of Torrance in Torrance, California. He's an executive...